A very good evening. Welcome along to Formline Extra. My name is Anthony Manton. Great to have your company. It's a special Formline Extra edition with the Taree Championship qualifier on tomorrow. Libby Hopwood's done all the form. How are you, Libby?
Good. It was a battle to get through this form. There's some tricky races.
Yeah, with these showcase meetings, big fields. They're very competitive normally, aren't they?
There are a couple of races there where I've put five horses in because I just couldn't leave out the fifth horse. It was very hard.
Yeah, very, very tough to do the form for these showcase meetings. All right, no Glenn Munsey or Gerald Middleton with us this evening, so I'll update us with all the TAB markets throughout the evening. Let's first of all have a look at the menu for tomorrow, and this is the race card we're looking at. Eight races, big fields, the order of the day. Kicks us off with a maiden at the first there at Taree at around about 10 past 1, or 5 past 1 to be exact. And the country championship qualifier for the Mid-North Coast is at 4:40. That comes up as race number 7. There are a couple of specials as well, courtesy of tab.com.au tomorrow, if you're keen to play. They've got a big six jackpot, $20,000 big six jackpot. Taree Sunday, first leg race 3. And there's also a money-back offer as well, courtesy of tab.com.au. There it is, the Country and Provincial Championship qualifier offer at Taree. Place a fixed odds bet, win on any of the Country and Provincial Championship qualifying races in 2017 with your TAB account. And if your horse runs second or third, you'll recover. You're covered with your cash back up to $50. So if you have a bet tomorrow at Taree and you run second or third, you will get your money back up to the value of $50. Okay, let's dive straight into the program and have a look at this first race. It's a three-year-old maiden, showcase maiden over the 1,250 metres. Here's a look at your market, courtesy of tab.com.au. Noble Dragon comes up as the favourite. It's drawn a slightly tricky gate at $3.20. Had a couple of runs, comes back in grade from provincial grade to the country. Jaded Dreams is first up, had a couple of trials at 4:40. A lot like home. I thought it could win at its most recent run, got run over late. I Am Serious as a first starter, Rock the Casbah, Bell's Command and Chardonnay in the mix there. Competitive market to start the day. We'll have a look at the speed map, courtesy of Racing and Sports, and see where the speed comes from. A lot like home, it'll probably push through from that middle draw and lead. It did lead last time. To Go to Fury and I Am Serious a first starter, but it did show some speed, but probably a lot like home does look your likely leader, and it'll give them something to chase, Libby. What did you settle on in the first?
I have settled on a lot like home for all the reasons that you said. He will go forward, make his own sort of luck, so I have put him on top. We're going to go back and have a look at his last start at Taree. He was pretty good here, but he was never given any sort of peace. He kicked forward underneath this horse that did lead them up. This was protective custody, and they all eyeballed each other for the entirety of the race, which is not what you want as a jockey. The horses can fade doing that, and protective custody did exactly that. He wilted and faded back through the field, but a lot like home really stuck to his guns and battled on quite well. So he's obviously a tough little horse. He may have just got a little bit tired. That was his first up run for this preparation, so he was pretty tough there, I think, with second up Venus. So he's going to be a little bit harder to get past. The second, I've got Speed with Ease. He was a bit disappointing last start at Grafton, but was very good prior to that. So if it bounces back to previous form, it should be thereabouts. Number three, Noble Dragon. We'll find this certainly easier from its provincial form, as you said. It was last start at Wyong. Still wants to do a few things wrong over races and gives the jockey a bit of a hard time. So if he can just settle in the run, no reason why he can't be in the finish. And then number nine, Chardonnay. She was much improved last start at Cessnock. Maybe she's hit her straps and maybe she's ready to go on with it.
All right, Chardonnay, a $17 chance. I gave it an each-way chance for sure, second up this afternoon, and did hit the line well first up at Cessnock. All right, we'll move along to race number two. We've got a Class 1 and maiden over the 2,000 metres for the stayers. And we've got a shorty here, Powercraft at $1.50. It absolutely bolted in at Port Macquarie, winning its maiden last time out. Won by about 6 lengths and expected to win again, given the price it is at $1.50. Argen's $8. Runaway Jet consistent enough at $8. Southern Delight, Lucky Show, and even down to Queen Electra at $26. Outside of the fave, they're a pretty competitive bunch of horses, and they generally just seem to go around week after week in these similar sort of events. Let's have a look at the speed map, courtesy of Racing and Sports. Now, I did the speed on this race. There was no speed at all. They've got Runaway Jet leading and Argen coming across, but even those two horses are not normally leaders. There's just no speed, so they might just have to, they'll have to go forward. Something will have to lead, Libby.
They'll just find themselves there, I think. They're just lob. As you said, these horses, whilst they go forward, they just like to sit off the leader. So it'll be a wait and see, and the jockeys will have to take the initiative. If you've got a big, bold-going type horse, it might be the type of race to just to let him roll.
Exactly.
I have settled on Runaway Jet, so I've actually gone away from the favourite, whilst the favourite was very impressive last start. I like the way Runaway Jet stuck to his guns last start, as we'll have a look at its replay. She was very, very tough here. I think there was a lot to like about this run. This was her best run for quite a while, so there might be a little bit of trust involved, but I think it was because she finally got up to this trip. She's had two goes at this trip, and she hasn't missed a place yet. She's had a bit of a freshet up since then, and she wanted to do a few things wrong. She did want to hang in, and she just had to get checked off heels a little bit, as we saw. We can see her battling down to the line there. But she ran reasonable times. Powercraft, obviously, was very, very good last start, bolted in at its maiden. Now, I think Runaway Jet's last start was a benchmark 60 or around that mark from memory, so she's already proven that she can get up to these benchmark races, whereas Powercraft is stepping up out of maiden, and quite often it can be hard for horses to win straight out of a maiden. Having said that, he did win by 6 lengths, so he's obviously got a little bit of ability. His sectionals were, I thought, a little bit lazy, though, but he was unpressured, so he may find another couple of lengths up his sleeve. So absolutely no knock on the favourite, but I just think he's poised to get beaten for a little bit of value, so I'll put him in for second. Number one, Argem, won nicely last start, is on trial at this trip, but he ran to the line well enough to suggest that it certainly won't be an issue. And number nine, Ibista, for a little bit of value, I thought, $21. Ran well last start at Tuncurry. Now, obviously, quite a bit harder here, but he's racing well enough, and I thought inclined to risk.
Yeah, fair enough. There's no prizes for tipping them at $1.50, is there, with Powercraft? So Runaway Jet, it's got a great chance. And that Ride to Redemption form's pretty good. Ride to Redemption's won a couple of races this preparation and goes around at Coffs Harbour on Monday, and they think it can win there as well. So, yeah, I'm with you. There's no prizes, as I said, for tipping them at $1.50. Okay, race number three, we'll move along. We've got a maiden, this one, for the four-year-olds and up over the 1,300 metres. And the Free World comes up as your favourite. Now, when I looked at this race, nothing really stood out. I mark this as an average bunch of horses, to be quite blunt. And the Free World's 350 in the favourite. Jester Lionheart, 460. It was okay first up. Thought it could improve second up after the slightly longer trip. You'll Do hasn't had a lot of luck its last couple of runs, and Dub Rub's an $8 chance. Let's have a look at the speed map, courtesy of Racing and Sports. And again, another race, Libby, where I thought no speed at all, and something's going to have to roll forward. I know You'll Do has gone forward. It went forward in its first start but got caught wide, so it'll probably roll across. Might be able to get to the lead easy enough, but it's the sort of race where if something takes the bull by the horn, so to speak, or the initiative, absolutely, might be able to get away with this one.
Absolutely, but as of paper, You'll Do is the only horse that goes forward. Dunrub has sat handy before. Everything else likes to get back, and I'm with you. This was a hard race. A few of these horses do need to find a few lengths. I went through and I checked this race, and the only one I could find was Jester Lionheart. I had to go back and really look for horses after that. So Jester Lionheart, he was my selection right from the get-go. He got back in this run here last start at Cessnock, but he kept battling down to the line reasonably well. But this was pretty good because he was off a very long layup, 429 days off, so it was a pretty good effort. He should only be further improved with race fitness, and he's the type of horse that looks like he's going to want an extra furlong than what he got last start at Cessnock, and he gets that here today. Having said that, there's a little bit of trust involved with him because that was his best run to date. So, as you said, the common bunch of horses, but maybe him on top. And I've got the Free World, freshen up and back and trip, but has been around the mark all preparation. He only needs to be a little bit snappier in the sprints to the line to be able to find himself in the finish here, but he should be able to do that amongst these horses. Number five, Hayden Boy, freshened after fading out last start at Muswellbrook. He was pretty solid prior to that, so maybe he can bounce back in this race with a little bit of fresh legs. And then number 12, Davalon Kumra, rock hard fit, and that might just be what she needs to get her over the line here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought Jester Lionheart was the one to beat as well. A race that lacked a bit of depth, and it had a decent run first up, and second up might be able to improve. So Jester Lionheart for me as well, race number three. Okay, race number four, we'll move along. We've got a class one here over the 1,000 metres. They're sure to go very quick. Here's the market. Shelley Beach Road looked good, winning first up at Port Macquarie at 260. First two gap, the other's always a good sign. Painted Lady, she's a capable filly. She's at 350. Overgrown, $7. Dara Masala and Morning Fair. Even On My Terms, who went out a winner last preparations, drawn a wide gate. It can show speed from the wide gate. Let's have a look at the speed map. I reckon they've got On My Terms coming across from that wide alley. Only a one turn into the straight there for the 1,000 metres at Taree. On My Terms drawn wide. Shelley Beach Road, I reckon, will kick up as well. Those two look your likely leaders. Maybe Painted Lady takes a trail behind those 1-1. Not a bad little race, this one. What did you settle on, Libby?
We've gone from one extreme to the other. There was no speed in any of the earlier races. And in this race, there's five or six horses that do like to go forward. And I've settled on Painted Lady. I think she's got quite a few nice little form lines leading out of her last start that we'll go back and have a look at. She was beaten here by Princess Posh, who, of course, went on for a very good placing in the Wyong Provincial Championships, and Caravali, that we saw run second to Hysterical last start at Rose Hill. So a nice bit of form line around for this little mare. I like her in this race. We see her here. She really stuck to her guns quite well. She battled on quite nicely to the line. She's a tough little horse. She just couldn't quite peg these back. So I like her. These horses came down the outside. That's her in the middle in the light blue, and she really went with that horse, but just couldn't match it, which of course is Princess Posh. So I do like this form line. I've actually made her my best for the day. I think she's going to, if she only needs to retain current form to be competitive. For second, I've got Shelley Beach Road, lightly raised little mare, looks to have plenty of upside to her. She's fresh enough to breaking her maiden last preparation. She certainly hasn't missed a beat yet. She hasn't missed a placing at this trip, so she's a nice little horse. Painted Lady is my best for the day. Shelley Beach Road may give her a run for the money, but I will see how that turns out. Number one, Dara Masala, excusing a run two starts ago. This bloke's been solid all preparation. He was trapped wide last start, and he battled on reasonably well, considering. Number 11, Keshla Beggs, has been around the mark in higher benchmark races than this, so only needs to retain current form.
Okay, Painted Lady in race number four there for Libby. Yeah, you make a good case with that Princess Posh form, and Princess Posh placed in the Wyong Provincial Championship during the week, so that is good form. All right, we're taking a break here on Formline Extra. It is great to have your company. After the break, we will preview the Quaddie Leagues.
Writing Australian racing history for over 150 years. With time-honoured classics, the Longines Golden Slipper Carnival, Australia's biggest day of Group 1 racing, and the grand finals of Australian racing, the Championships. Buy your tickets today. Visit theatc.com.au. The Sydney Carnival. The tradition continues.
Protexin, the world's most advanced multi-strain probiotic, works by flooding the gut with billions of naturally occurring beneficial bacteria that are essential for intestinal good health. Using Protexin every day protects your valuable animals and birds by establishing and maintaining a healthy gut, protecting them from scours, reducing digestive upsets and stress while maintaining good health. It's naturally safe and ideal for animals of all ages. Protexin is available in a wide range of packs from International Animal Health.
With outstanding quality, durability, reliability, safety and service, it's no wonder we're Australia's number one forklift company. Toyota Material Handling. Solutions for every pallet.
He's the Managing Director of Australia's leading bloodstock auctioneers. Tuesday, Mark Webster goes one-on-one, from taking on the job at Inglis.
Definitely my dream job. It's exciting when we go to the races and we see the great horses that we've sold winning at the top level.
To relocating to Warwick Farm.
The opportunity at Warwick Farm allows us to do all the things that we want to do.
And talks about the upcoming Easter sale.
This could be the best in terms of quality.
One-on-one with Ray Thomas, 7:30 Tuesday.
This is where it all started for me. I used to play hooky from school, tucking myself away on this bench in the farthest corner of the Canterbury Racecourse. I'd imagine I was calling a race, practicing, remembering the names, remembering all the colours, swept up in the thrill of the moment. The only thing that's changed now is I get paid for it.
Okay, G'day, welcome back. You're watching Formula 1 Extra, and we're previewing the Tyree Country Championship qualifier race meeting tomorrow. We're up to race number 5. This one is a benchmark 65 over the 1,000 metres for the sprinters. Here's a look at your market. Torfeet Boy is first up, lightly raced but shows good ability, $3.80. Grammar School, $6. Run Sally Run, she is an absolute track specialist over the 1,000 there at Tyree. She's $7. Lyric, $9.50, up from Warwick Farm for Greg Hickman. Alpine Dragon, Emperor of Oz, I thought Touch Sensitive was a chance at $11, back from Tab Highway form. Let's have a look at the speed map. One thing's for sure, they'll go very quick here. Now, Run Sally Run, she's exceptionally fast. She's drawn wide, but I've seen her draw wide gates at Tyree in the past and burn across and lead. I don't think Torfeet Boy's got the speed to go with Run Sally Run. Laurentian does off the inside. I suspect Laurentian will kick up from barrier 2. Run Sally Run from the wide gate. It'll sit outside the leader. Alpine Dragon and Torfeet Boy will take a trail, and the others, I just don't think they're quick enough to keep up, although Nico's Lass does go pretty quick, but she's just out of form at the moment. What did you settle on, Libby? It's a tough race, this one.
It is a very tough race. This is one of those races I was talking about at the top of the show that I actually found 5 horses. Now, I know we can't have 5, so I've only put the 4 in, but I was juggling between these, but I did settle on Grammar School. We'll go back and we'll have a look at his last start at Wyong. He's been freshened up since this effort. It was a good chasing effort from this bloke here. He battled to the line reasonably well. I think I was hoping that he would find this race a little bit easier coming back from provincial, but this is a tough, tough race. So quite like how he got to the line here. He is yet to win at this trip, but I think he might get his chance to break through. So good, tough horse, well poised, rock hard fit. I cost myself punting last week by putting a horse on top that was race fit as opposed to a horse that was trial fit. So I went away from the trial fit today with Torfeet Boy. Got him in for second. Obviously, a talented galloper, only lightly raced, but has plenty of upside. Has had 2 solid trials leading into this, but as I just said, I got birds last week by putting trial form over the top of race form, so I put him in for second. Number 2, Emperor of Oz. He's won over this trip with the same sort of weight last start. So he's coming into this off very good form, and he's a very tough customer. And then number 4, Lyric, no luck at all. Last start at Beaumont. Closed well when he did finally get some clear running, but a bit of a hard luck story, and he's hoping probably to turn that around.
Yeah, tough race that one. So Grammar School on top 4. Libby, it's the sort of race where you could pick 4 or 5 and still miss the winner. So if you like one, don't let Libby or I talk you out of it, because you'll find some value anywhere you go shopping. OK, race number 6, a benchmark 60 over the 1,600 metres. Now, with Manhattan Road coming out here, there's not a lot of speed in this race. Here's the market. Lady Evelyn, $4. She was good winning a maiden, disappointing at her most recent run, but she's had a freshen up. Mosteel Ruby, she's starting to come good, Ruby. She's going to get back, and she needs a bit of speed on up front. Milk and Brandy's going good. Slippery Moss, Torquay's a track specialist. Old Clunes Rocket, absolute gem, and Glitterama at $15. Very competitive market, that one. Here's your speed map, courtesy of Racing and Sports. As I said, Manhattan Road comes out, so that does leave it with not a lot of speed up front, in my opinion. Lady Evelyn and Glitterama, they've got the ability to roll forward, but neither of those horses are real natural leaders. It might be another race where if something takes off mid-race and pinches a bit of a break, it might give them something to run down. What did you settle on, Libby?
I actually thought Clunes Rocket might just lob there from this inside draw. Yeah. So I put him on top, actually. I like this horse. He's a tough customer. We'll have a look at his last start. He's the grey, so you can't miss him. He's up in weights for this race, but he is down in grade. And I really like the way he stuck to his guns here. I have said it before, my favourite sort of horses to ride were the tough old geldings that give you 110%. And this is what this bloke seems to do time in, time out. And he's had horses loom up at him, and instead of them just stalking straight past him, he's managed to go with them. So he's a tough horse. He's racing very well, and he was $16 here last start at Grafton, so he wasn't given much of a chance. He almost caused an upset, so I like this bloke for this race. The second, I've got Torquay. Hasn't been far away this preparation. Does like this trip, has been fresh and heading into this. Has got a big weight, but has won with this weight in the past. Number 8, Absolute Gem. She's racing very well. Another horse that's been around the mark all preparation. Has a good strike rate at this distance, and she's might find this a little bit easier. She's had a bit of a freshen up, but a pretty tough effort last start at the Gold Coast. Number 5, Mosteel Ruby, as you said, finally starting to come good. She kicked off this prep with a pretty good win last start. She might be ready to go on with it.
Yeah, she generally holds form, Ruby, but the concern is that there's not a lot of speed, so she's going to get back and need a little bit of luck and need them to run along up front, but she is starting to hit a bit of form. OK, we'll move along. Race number 7. This is the Mid-North Coast Racing Association Country Championship qualifier over the 1,400 metres. And a few of the better chances are drawn wide here. Everso Naturals had a faultless preparation. Ran second in the heat last year here at Taree and ran third in the final behind Clearly Innocent. And Cliffy Bashford has absolutely got this horse's preparation perfect so far. $4. Portatorio, I struggle to see how it'll run 1,400 metres. It's at $5. Cogliere unlucky at $6 at its most recent run. Shotgun Roulette, she's going well, the mare. She's going to have to drift back, give them a start, and she's invincible at $9.50. Another one that I think is doubtful at the 1,400 metres. Over the page, you've got Valbeater, Capital Magic, Hippie Hi Ho there, and right down to Toast, who's the bolter at $51. It's a competitive market. Here's a look at the speed map, courtesy of Racing and Sports. Now, the speed from She's Invincible and Portatorio, I'd say in barriers 3 and 5, they look your leaders in my opinion. Gold Talk can roll forward, and Dubai Sights from barrier 18 might have to roll forward and just try and slot in. But Portatorio and She's Invincible, they'll lead for a long way, but I've got them very suspect at 1,400. What did you settle on?
They might be very suspect for this race as well, because there is a lot of pressure up front. There are a lot of horses that do like to go forward and a lot of horses that like to travel at a good clip. So pretty speedy race, but I've settled on Ever So Natural. He was ultra impressive at last start. We'll see a lot of the horses in this race actually against him here. He carried 61.5 kilos in this race, and he's actually dropping 4 kilos for the race that we're going to see him in tomorrow. So very, very tough win. He was fresh. It was fantastic. So we'll see him get down to the line. He stalked down the outside of the field, and he was just simply too strong. He does also have an excellent record at this track and trip. He's had 4 goes here for 2 wins and 2 seconds. He has placed second up, and he's down 4 kilos on this run. So we see him just burst from the pack. I think everything seems to have lined up for this bloke. As you said, he's primed his preparation to perfection. I think he looks poised to win this race. So I've got him on top, followed in by Portatorio. This bloke loomed up last start and did look the winner, but did look to blow out. That was first up, so he might have had a few excuses there. Will be better second up with that little bit of race fitness. Number 3, Cogliere. Now, forgive this horse's last start at Port Macquarie. Actually pulled up coughing, so there was a veterinary reason for that. Was solid prior to that and can bounce back to form. And number 9, Shotgun Roulette. Impressive winner first up, last start at Rose Hill, so bringing in some nice form into this race. Does bring some very nice fresh form into this, so it certainly wouldn't surprise to see it pop up.
Okay, so Ever So Natural on top in the country championship qualifier at Taree for Libby tomorrow. And as I said, Cliff Bashford looks like he's timed the horse's preparation perfect with that first up win at Port Macquarie. And as I mentioned, ran second in the heat last year and third in the final. So Cliffy's just timed the run perfect this time in and having another crack at the championships. Okay, moving along to race number 8, the final event. It's a Class 2 over the 1,250 metres. And here's the market, courtesy of tab.com. Laszlo's first up for 4 months, but does look to have a bit of class about him. He's 460. I like this horse. Gadfly's a $5 chance on the second line of betting. I Want to Be a Jeep, I thought, was enormous at his most recent run, when 4 and 5 wide there at Port. Mary Rani in the new stable, and Magic Beneteau's got to go maiden to Class 2. I don't even think Farlap did that. And it's at $9.50. Interesting runner there, in my opinion. Capital Magic's $15 for a Class 2, but yet in the country championship qualifier, the race before, it's a $17 chance. So that just screams to me value, Capital Magic, but I have been known to be wrong in the past. Let's have a look at the speed map, courtesy of Racing and Sports. The speed from the inside with Oakfield Sunrise. Now, there's no jockey listed to ride Oakfield Sunrise as yet, so that's significant. And Flick Pass, well, it's an emergency from barrier number 2. So if those two horses don't run, and at this point they seem unlikely, takes a lot of speed out of the race, Libby.
Gadfly might find himself on top if they come out. Otherwise, he might be able to get a good trail off these horses, and I have got him on top. I think it should work out for him either way he goes around. He looked very good here last start at Beaumont. He's rock hard fit. He was just run over quite late in the piece, and I think from memory this was a 1350, so he's back a furlong from this race, and mathematically you think it should help him hold on, because he's hit the front, he's right there, and then they just get to him late. So hopefully back a furlong should help him turn the tables. I think this bloke only needs to hold current form, and he has actually won at this trip in the past, so I think he gets his chance to get back into the winner's stall. He's rock hard fit, will go forward and will certainly make his own luck. Number 3, Laszlo. As you said, this horse is only lightly raced. Does seem to have plenty of upside. placed on debut, so obviously goes quite well fresh and is resuming here today. Number 7, Capital Magic. This said the interesting runner for the punting perspective. I missed him in the qualifier, but I've got him for third here. He was very good in the Class 4 Country Championships last start at Port Macquarie. Just couldn't quite match it with Ever So Natural, which is actually my top pick in that race. So a nice form line out of that race, coming back into a Class 2. So he's dropping a couple of grades for this race. So he gets a very good chance here. And then number 14, Unnamed Strategy. Racing very well this preparation. I like the way that how this horse got to the line last start at Port Macquarie.
Yeah, Capital Magic for sure looks great value in my opinion. $15 is way over the odds considering it's a $17 chance in the qualifier. Okay, we need best bet and best value on the card, please, Libby.
My value is Clune's Rocket, the tough old grey horse that I liked. I think he's well over the odds, this bloke, considering how well he stuck to his guns last start. He's rock-hard fit, and that's the type of thing you want in these sorts of races. And he can carry the weight, and he seems to have found himself in a little bit of form. For best, I've got Painted Lady. I do like her form lines around this race. The two horses that beat her that we just saw have gone on to run some very good races since then. So she only another horse that only needs to hold current form.
Okay, that is our show for this evening here on Formline Extra. All the markets, tab.com.au for Taree tomorrow. They're up. You can bet on all the races, particularly the country qualifier and also the final at Randwick, which is on the last week of, I think the first week of April, isn't it? So you can bet on the final as well. All the markets are up there, tab.com.au. That's our program. Good betting at Taree tomorrow. See you again soon.
We hope you are currently enjoying the programming which is simulcast from Sky Racing 1 on Sky Sports Radio. For more information, please visit skyracing.tv and click on the Programs tab.
It's Kimberly Mine, a length go, the snip cutting it down. Kimberly Mine hanging on, it's just one.
Winning results from Sky Racing tipsters.
China Marston shooting for a double herself, found the last winner, Kimberly Mine. China Marston, what have you found here?
I cannot believe this number one is at $3.40. I am with her through and through. Number one, Brightly Goes for me.
And Brightly Goes kicked away, but it's going to be too good. Brightly Goes wins it well. And down the outside, Wee Jess is getting going again. Wee Jess came over the top of them to win.
China Marston standing by, shooting for four in a row. China, you found the first three at really good value. What have you found here?
Thanks, Jono. Yes, we've had some good luck so far. Let's hope this horse gets home as well here.
Agnes shot to the front. Agnes two or three in front, and he looks in no danger of defeat, Agnes.
China Marston having a wow of a day with the pick of the yard. What have you found for this time, China?
Well, I'm sticking with the trend that has been working all day and the trend that's been working for me as well, Jono. Going with number two, Not Too Sure.
Not Too Sure had taken the lead at the 200-metre mark. Not Too Sure, however, is in front, and Not Too Sure is holding them at bay.
I think just about everyone had a winning day today on the punt. China, you found about five winners today, five in a couple of seconds.
Yes, or? So five winners in 2 seconds, and I think about three of them were around the $8 mark, some in from $26.
They'll be cheering China off the course today.
On with Tactical Advantage as well, Duff. He's just ticking every box. What is he? Three starts his preparation now for three wins. He's in a real winning frame of mind, this horse.
And Tactical Advantage hits the lead from Scarlet Rain, then Spending to Win, going to third, but here's four in a row for Tactical Advantage.
Giuseppe on top. He's obviously vulnerable first up 1,500 metres. He's going to get better with time. I think he'll win this and go on and win a couple of Group 1s or a Group 1 this autumn.
Antonio Giuseppe, he's in for a great autumn carnival.
Formline, 7:30 Thursdays.
From the cinema to you. A gift from the sea.
There came a sudden cry out of the darkness. It was the cry of a child.
Became a curse to the heart.
My sister had a terrible tragedy and her family were lost at sea.
It's her mother.
I am her mother.
She doesn't belong to us.
You have a very lovely daughter.
Life Between Oceans. Rent it now. Discover new movies in Foxtel Store and Box Office. In the peaceful suburb of Maple Circle.
Neighbour!
The new neighbours.
Hey, darling. Still spying on the neighbours?
Other.
We're the Joneses.
Our farm from ordinary.
Joneses are not who they say they are.
Zach Galifianakis, John Hamm, Isla Fisher, and Gal Gadot.
When it counts to say, you're going to run, okay?
Yeah! I was thinking of a start!
I
your wife?
Keeping Up with the Joneses. Rent it now. Discover new movies in Foxtel Store and Box Office.
Breakfast is on the road again for the provincial championships. We'll be live from select tracks around the state on the mornings of the qualifiers
as contenders strive for a spot in the rich finals at Royal Randwick.
Join the Big Sports Breakfast live from Hawkesbury this Thursday on Sky Sports Radio.
Our next caller, Tom, has something to say to a special loved one.
It's the horse, clearly innocent. Just love him. Backed him at the country championships at Royal Randwick in 2016. Weaved his way through traffic and raced straight into my heart.
Stunning, Tom. Yeah. It's easy to love a bet this autumn because we've got heart racing offers on all the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Bet you love that. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The Man Shake helped me lose weight, and now I have more energy to be a better dad.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer two-year-old speed on two-year-old speed. Weaver Colt by brilliant two-year-old now, first crop sire, Sizzling. The only Group 1 winning two-year-old by his sire, Snitzel, from Nova. Daughter of champion two-year-old sire, Exceed and Excel.
I thought this colt was a running type. He's got real sort of get-up-and-go about himself. Terrific bone, and he looks like he's going to be an early two-year-old.
Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 336808.
Lano, you're as red as beetroot.
Fell asleep in the sun, Mum.
Well, guess what? Summer is over.
Everyone, summer's over because Mum said so.
I'm talking about our end of summer deals at Bing Lee, Lano.
Yes, Mum. To celebrate the end of summer and new stock arriving, we've got some red hot deals at Bing Lee.
Just like your sunburn, Lano.
Thanks, Mum.
It's perfect time to pick up a new TV, fridge, washer, dryer or dishwasher. And they're top brands.
End of summer deals at Bing Lee.
They're hot and they won't last long.
On Sky Sports Radio, time now for the best of the Big Sports Breakfast.
Yeah, my word, you know, we've got a bit of work to do. You know, this is, you know, we haven't played a competition game, so it's a bit different for us at the moment, just coming off our pre-season. But, you know, what a way to go into our season. That was a physical game, and, you know, I'm really pleased that we came over, and we should be in good shape to go into our first competition game.
Yeah, bring on Brisbane on March the 2nd.
Yeah, my word, you know, as I said, enjoyed our time.
Well, there you go. That was Shane Flanagan. It was Cronulla not at their best, trying to strut their stuff on the world stage. I've got to say, Wigan were pretty good in defeating Cronulla 22 points to 6. And in the end, I'm glad to say that Paul Gallen, the Sharks skipper, a little bit jet-lagged, I imagine, but he's made his way back from that World Club Challenge. G'day, Gal.
Hey, guys. Yeah, jet lag's the word, boys. It's tough to recover from, but we're all doing our best.
Yeah, they were very, very good. Was it a worthwhile experience, or is it too early to tell yet?
Oh, no, look, I think it was good, to be honest. I thought we had a good week together. It was a good week with the result didn't go away, obviously, but I thought all in all it was useful. Now, we had a really good pre-season up until about 3 weeks ago. Look, I wouldn't say it all fell apart, but there's certainly we ran into a few hurdles with the nines, and that same weekend, a trial game in Brisbane, so the squad virtually split in half. We had the top 20 players virtually split in half. And you throw on top of that, we had injuries to outside backs with Sasai Fecky, Valentine Holmes. Ricky Latelli couldn't train for a week. So we basically, and then the week after that, we had four of our best players in the All-Stars. So we had a really disjointed 2 or 3 weeks there. So to get over there and have 2 or 3 good training sessions together, and then have a really good physical game, you know, I thought all in all was worthwhile. I thought the game itself, you know, we only needed 1 or 2 calls to go away in that first half. And, you know, it's a different game where we possibly win. But it wasn't to be. And as you said, to Wigan's credit, they played well.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the things that came out of that World Club Series game, Gal. One referee. Did you notice the difference? Were you a fan of it? Do you think the two referee model is best?
Oh, look, I don't mind one referee, to be honest with you. I think it's I think it's okay. I don't think, certainly off all the a lot of Sharks fans, a lot of people walking the streets just yesterday, they weren't happy with the refereeing performance. And look, I wasn't too fussed by it, to be honest. I thought all in all it was okay. At the end of the day, we made 10 errors. We gave 3 7 tackle sets to Wigan and gave away 11 penalties. And I think that's, if you look at that alone, that's more than 20 errors there in a game where you can only get the ball sort of out for 40 sets. I think that's the story why we never won the game. And as I said, I thought there was a couple of video refereeing calls that were fairly crucial and went against us. And had we just had one of them, I think we could have won the game.
The hooking position, does it remain your Achilles heel there at Cronulla? I mean, whoever you replaced Michael Ennis with was going to have tall, big boots to fill, Gal. But is it a predicament for you?
No, I don't think so. I'm a bit, I'm not going to say I'm sick of hearing about it because it's just something we've got to get on with. Michael Ennis is retired. We knew 10 weeks ago last year he was going to retire and we had to replace him. I've got to be honest, I thought Jaden Brayley did a terrific job. I thought he showed he's going to be our number nine. Look, I don't know that for sure. I think Swano obviously makes that decision, not me, but I thought he played really, really well. He went great, I've got to be honest. He's not going to be an 80-minute hooker. He's not going to be able to replace Michael Ennis straight away. We probably need to give him a season or two to build into that role, but certainly I thought he showed he's more than capable of playing at the top level. I mean, that, put it this way, for a game, of football, for your first game of in first grade, or even for our first game of the year as a club, that was one of the most physically intense games I've ever played in. So I thought he more than showed his worth, and he'll be a first grader for a long time to come.
I think he gets first crack at it anyway, I think, doesn't he, Gal?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And then we're going to have to carry another hooker, whether that's New Brown or, I thought Daniel Mortimer had a really good pre-season as well. We've got a couple of options there, which is good, but I certainly think he'll get first crack at it.
It's going to be interesting who runs out of fullback. Valentine Holmes mentioned he's injured. No Ben Barber there, of course. Your thoughts on that one, Gal, and who does Flano go with?
Bill was pretty good in the World Club Challenge.
I thought he was solid. I thought he went okay. I don't think we can put any claim on anyone's shoulders, especially Jared Beale. I thought he went well. It's all going to come down to whether Valentine Holmes is fit and ready. He had a hamstring strain in that trial game a few weeks ago, and with a bloke who needs to run as fast as he runs, he's got to be 100% come round one. I haven't seen him obviously for over 10 days now, and I don't know how he's running and where he speeds up to, but I'd be pretty confident they wouldn't be risking him unless he's absolutely 100% to go next Thursday. And I think if he's not right to go, I think we've got Joe Beale as a good replacement there, so I don't think there's too many issues there at all. And fingers crossed, if Beale's right, I'm sure he'll slot straight back in there.
The back-to-back is very hard to do. History says that. Speaking to you the other day, Gal, about it, a lot of things need to fall into place too, don't they? Like luck plays a really big part of it. Have you noted that the hunger is still there, Gal, from a Sharks point of view?
Yeah, certainly at training it has been. As I said, up until a few weeks ago where we sort of, we ran into the Nines and the All-Stars, and I thought that our preseason was great. We spoke early on about marginal gains, about getting better in different areas, individuals, and as a group, and as every individual improved from last year, whether it be our strength, our fitness, how fast they timed us, and over speed, we all improved. So I think they're going results, and those results were all above what we did last year, which is a good start. As I said, it's all about getting results on the field now, and after only two or three training sessions together leading into a World Cup Challenge, I thought we performed okay. But now it comes down to the NRL season, and we need to start winning games. And that'll be tested over the next few weeks. And I certainly think the hunger's there, that's for sure. I know it is with myself and a few of the other senior boys who have spoken about it. And it's up to us to lead that throughout the whole team. But as you said, you do need a little bit of luck. We have run into a few injuries. We're ready this preseason. Chaddy Townsend broke his thumb early January, never trained with us at all until last week, and obviously now we've had Fecky and Valentine injured. So last year I think we used 22 players as a total. We've already used that many already this year, so we haven't even played round one. So fingers crossed we can get those little hiccups out of the way early and not have too many during the season.
Have you got any update on James Seguiaro joining or not, or you over that?
Oh, look, I'm not over it. I'd love to say I feel a little bit sorry for the kid. I mean, it's from what I understand, both parties didn't live up to the of the contract. You know, obviously James didn't go back and fulfil his side of the contract, but he wasn't due back until January. But in saying that, he also wasn't paid a cent throughout November and December. So, you know, contracts work both ways. But unfortunately, at the moment, they seem to be holding a bit of a gun to his head and not releasing him. And you know, which is probably legally their right. I don't understand it all, but it just becomes a legal battle now. And you know, as we all know, when it becomes a legal battle, they become pretty messy. And yeah, look, from what I've heard, I can't see him being with us for probably the first couple of rounds anyway.
And speaking of players that might be joining the club, Edric Lee's name has been linked to the Cronulla Sharks moving out, and that would be effective immediately. I don't know whether you've caught up with that news, Gal, or your thoughts on Edric Lee joining the club.
Oh, look, I've heard about it, but I don't mind it, to be honest. I think he can offer us something, to be honest, particularly after the weekend, and we saw we had a couple of young wingers and sort of a back row had to play on the wing. I think especially with Vow probably moving to fullback, you know, when he's fit and healthy, I don't mind it at all. It gives us a big tall bloke on the wing, someone to kick to, and that's probably something in the Sharks we haven't had since Luke Cavell, to be honest. I remember we used to put up kicks to Luke Cavell and
top
it, I think, for being slow, but I tell you what, he could jump and catch a ball and score a try off a kick.
He could.
Bar Luke Lewis, we haven't really had that for a couple of years, so I think he can add something to us. We'll have to wait and see in the next few days if he joins us.
There you go. There's a blast from the past. Good on you, mate.
Let me tell you.
Paul Buggery used to cop it, didn't he? The fans used to give it to him.
But anywhere inside that 20 metres, if there was a kick and they put it on the right spot, he'd catch it 9 times out of 10. And on the flip side, when the opposition kicked to him, you'd be pretty confident you're going back for a 20-metre restart because you'd catch it always. He was rock solid.
Yeah, he was.
Were you quicker than him, Gal?
Oh, I don't.
Might have just been.
Oh, come on.
Mate,
I don't even know.
Good to chat. Good to see you behind that concept, and things are coming together for the Cronulla Sharks. We thank you for your time, mate.
Thanks, boys. See you next week.
Paul Gallen there, the Sharks captain.
Round one a week away.
Oh, that's exciting.
Round one is a week away. On Thursday,
good morning,
the Broncos up against the Sharks. Yeah, apparently he's a big listener to the program. Well, apparently he was a big listener to the program.
He was much maligned, unfortunately, but he could take a high ball.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wide Line Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
I didn't like what I saw for the Aussie franchises last night. The Kiwis look awesome. They looked awesome too at the Rugby 10s up there in Brisbane. Will it carry over for the rest of the Super Rugby? Will the Aussie franchises be able to repel the Kiwis? Let's find out from Wallaby great George Gregan himself. G'day, George.
Good morning.
What do you think?
Yeah, it wasn't the start everyone was hoping for, was it?
No, they were bad.
No, the Blues, and they were depleted. They're missing a few players, but as were the Blues. But it just goes to show that the level of play within Super Rugby, the speed, the skill, if you're a little bit off, it can really get ugly very quickly.
Blues without Sonny Bill Williams, and pretty sure they finished bottom of the New Zealand Conference last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, but it's funny. They weren't far off in terms of the points they accumulated. Maybe being on top of what was the Australian Conference. So it's a really strong conference. It has been for many, many years, the New Zealand Conference in the Super Rugby competition. And again, they've sort of shown the way in terms of the benchmark of what's going to be expected, what's going to be required to be at that pointy end of the season.
George, as far as the Aussie franchises are concerned, the Queensland Reds, they've recruited big time. They should be the big improvers.
Yeah, they've got a really good squad. Like, you know, you're talking about people like Georgie Smith. You've got Carmichael Hunt's going to be playing at the back of the field. Really good experience with Rob Simmons and the like. It's a nice balance. Scott Higginbotham's back. A really skillful
Steve Moore.
And tough number eight. Yeah, Steve Moore. How can you not remember Steve Moore? In terms of that's where he started his career. Went to the Brumbies for many years and was a great servant of the game there. But he's back at home, back at the Reds. So they've got a nice balance of experience and some good young players coming through. And I love the halves in terms of Nick Frisby and Quade Cooper. So I think if you're going to be a really serious contender as a team, you need a good, strong half pairing, and that's what they've got.
George, Waratahs, $1.22, short price favourites against the Force, $4.25. How deep into the competition do you see the Waratahs going?
Yeah, I can see them if they stay healthy. A lot of that has to do with all the squads. If they can stay healthy and keep a lot of their frontline players on the field for most of the season, then they should go pretty deep. But it's funny, you talk about that mismatch in terms of the odds. That's a team which doesn't set up nicely historically for the Waratahs. the Force can find a way to sort of just make it a bit of an arm wrestle, and the Waratahs find it hard to get into their rhythm. But they're a very good team. Who'll ever forget when they beat the Crusaders a couple of years ago and that last minute kick? They've got too many quality players not to be sort of contending, I think, at the back end.
I think the Waratahs have only won one of their last four against the Western Force.
Yeah, and you have teams like that. You know, they just don't sit up nicely to the way that you want to play, and they know that, and they play that style, which if you don't get good momentum and go forward, the Force are really hard on the ball, a good tackling team. They don't give away much, and they get a lot of belief and strength from that level of play.
Mm. Foley's out, mate. That concussion ruling that all sports are pretty hard on that now.
Yeah, they are, and so they should be. And I think rugby, to be fair, has been one of the leaders in that regard. So I think if the medical team's in there and they sense that there's a danger for the player, so player welfare, then they err on the side of caution and look after the player's self. I think it's a great thing.
George, you're a proud Brumby, but geez, they could have a very, very long year.
Yeah, they could. Like, I think it's one of those ones where they've lost a lot of experience. What I said with the Reds, they've lost, you know, they've lost their Pococks, they lost people like Stephen Moore, and, you know, now they've lost Thomas Gubelli, who's a wonderful Argentinian scrum half. We saw what he did last year in his first year with the Brumbies, and I think he was just going to go from strength to strength. But it gives opportunities for young players to emerge, and they're a well-coached team. Like, that Brumbies team is a very well-coached team. They're very aware of what everyone's role is in terms of how the team plays. So I can see some young guys potentially putting their hands up, and then all of a sudden we're talking about them mid-season. But it could be a long season, but they'll fight hard.
Right. What games are you doing for Fox?
Yeah, I'm starting tonight, actually. I've got the Reds playing the Sharks. It should be a great game. Really looking forward to that. And it should be exciting seeing Georgie Smith.
Yes.
I think I'll call him the Wolverine.
Who's older, you or him?
Young. Oh, mate, he's like a Tom Brady.
George is rich.
He gets better with age. I'm definitely older than him, but he's still playing.
Unbelievable.
Good on you, George.
And he's getting better.
Well done, mate. It's great to talk to you, buddy. Have a great call, and we'll speak soon.
Speak soon.
Our next guest is wondering why she's not invited this year to the Big Sports Breakfast lunch. Well, it's simple. She left our city. She left the Swifts. She's now actually got only one front tooth.
Oh, come on.
Well, that was qualification for Collingwood. Collingwood netball. Hey, Sharni.
Troublemakers. I'm not wondering why I'm not there. I'm wondering why it's going ahead without me.
You were the big hit last year.
I know. As if, you know, the Bogan game's going to be the same. No one can live up to my standard.
Bogan bingo sort of got you ready for Collingwood in a way.
Yeah, well, mate, I was always ready for that.
I nearly...
I fitted right in.
Shones, I nearly unfollowed you on Insta because you left our city, but I'm still following.
Oh, my God, thank God.
Oh.
What would I have done?
I know, exactly.
I would have had to
right.
have, like, just shut down my whole account.
Exactly.
Like, you're the only reason I post photos.
I know. Well, you're very active. You're very active.
Yeah.
There's plenty of fun. Hey, how's it all going? It's all underway, the Suncorp Super Netball Series. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, loving it. Well, obviously not the result that we wanted last weekend. Thanks for that. But, it's been amazing. The build-up was incredible. It was pretty short for us Aussie girls because we had a tour over in South Africa and the UK. But to come home and for it to go full ball, I think we had over 850,000 people watching it, like, over the three games last weekend, which is just incredible. And, we couldn't have asked for the three tighter games. It was awesome before in the end.
Yeah, the free-to-air coverage is just crucial to any sports success, Sharni.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think, we've had some really great support in previous years in, you know, of the ANZ chance.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we had so many people that wanted to watch it that couldn't, that didn't have the pay TV and all the rest of it. So, yeah, as you mentioned, the AFL, the NRL, all the rest of it, as soon as you go free to air, that's when it can really take off. And it just shows, even with the women's AFL, as well, as soon as you put it on there, like, there's a demand, like, people want to watch it. So the fact that it's there is great, and, can't wait to keep watching it grow.
I saw the chairman, Eddie, there trying to pump the big crowd up before the game as well. It didn't quite work, though. It was like, who wants to be a millionaire and not getting the prize?
Oh,
mate, he did a good job. The crowd was pumped up. We just didn't follow through with the goods. But he went over to the cafe beforehand and had everyone chanting, and it was awesome. Like, you could just feel the tension in the crowd. Like, the Vixen supporters were like, don't you go chanting that in here, thinking it's their home stadium. And we're like, well, this is now our home ground. And Melbourne previously, because I must say the one thing that I loved about Sydney the most is that the crowd was just incredible. But Melbourne is well renowned to be a bit of a tennis crowd, a bit of the claps and a bit of watching but not yelling as much. And so, if anything, we've definitely ignited that passion in the Vixens fans.
yeah. Well, you were touted, and you are touted as being the winners of this competition. How hard has it been? I know you're part of the leadership group down there, but just bringing a new franchise together quickly.
Yeah, it's really difficult bringing a new franchise together quickly, but, we're not the only ones in that boat at the end of the day. And, we've got, some amazing players in the team, but we're still human after all. And, with all of this coming to Collingwood, we already had our, skill sets as players, but we wanted to create something new and different at Collingwood, and we've been putting a lot of work and effort into that. But in saying that, we were doing a great job at training, but you just can't reenact that match pressure and how you're going to go under that pressure. So I think, we obviously didn't stand up last weekend, which is something that we'll be looking to do against the Firebirds tomorrow. But it's really tough because it's not just the on-court stuff. It's obviously all the behind-the-scenes stuff as well. But, they've done an incredible job getting it up and running so quickly, the same as GWS and Lightning up on the Sunshine Coast as well. It's definitely no easy feat.
We're lucky enough to be chatting with Sharni Layton, who's playing now with Collingwood. Your former club's been stripped of so many stars. Were you surprised they got, they were in front and got so close to the star-studded GWS in round number one?
Well, yes and no, but I think all the franchises, all the new franchises, had all the pressure on them this weekend. So all the other teams were able to come into it and, kind of just, I do feel like the expectations were as high on them, which, gives you the opportunity to relish in that. But in saying that, I'm not surprised either, because Rob Wright has coached in two grand finals, and he really knows how to get the best out of his players. And he's also, you've got to remember, coached Kim Green and Susan Pettit over the last couple of years and knows all the girls so well that he knows what to do against that as well. But I think, the Swifts played amazing. They did incredibly well. And Sammy Wallace, who's the new shooter, they've got down there, absolutely killed it with Helen Halsby, who's the English shooter. So the young'uns really stepped up, but they just still have a little bit of experience there with Abby McCulloch, who's been playing for ages, and Paige Hadley, who is an Australian team member. So, yes and no, with GWS being the new franchise, but Swifts absolutely took it to them, and, they would have been pretty devastated at the end because they were up the whole game to the end there.
Mm. And when are the Diamonds up next?
We are not playing again until August. We've got another quad series, so fall into the Suncorp Super Netball, and then after that's all over, we'll have a little bit of downtime before then kicking into the international series. So we'll have a quad series and the Constellation Cup as well, leading into the Commonwealth Games next year, which is so exciting. It's all happening in the netball world, boys.
It certainly is. We're going to miss you today, Sharni. Thank you.
No, oh, I miss you guys too.
We still love you.
Wasn't expecting it, to be honest. But
Sharni, I think you're lying. I don't think you're missing it.
Well, fly me up next time, all right?
All right, we'll do.
I miss you guys.
Miss you too.
See you, Sharni.
Thank you.
Hard to imagine the year racing by, but today marks 1 month to the start of the Australian Grand Prix. We're looking forward to it. I'm glad to say the boss of the Aussie Grand Prix joins us on the line in Andrew Westacott. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, guys. How are you? Terry, Jimmy?
Yeah, good. Bigger, faster, and more angry too, these F1s, apparently, for the new year.
Yeah, look, Melbourne's always traditionally been the start of the Formula One season. No change this year, other than the fact that the cars are going to be the fastest in Formula One history, and Daniel Ricciardo's got a big show of being on the podium, which is sensational for all Aussies.
Yeah, very exciting from an Australian perspective. The other big change, Andrew, of course, is the ownership of Formula One. Do you expect that to impact? It'd have to. I see that Lewis Hamilton's come out and said, well, they need to drag the sport into the 21st century.
Yeah, look, Bernie Eccleston has built up an unbelievable global tier one sport up there with sort of FIFA World Cup soccer and the Olympics, and these guys have realised that there's a lot of value in it, so they've paid, Liberty Media has paid $8 billion to purchase it, and therefore the new owners want to extract a lot out of it, and they're going to be fantastic for the sport. They're, one of the things they said, Super Bowl every second week, so Melbourne does a bit of that already, but hopefully it's going to go to new levels, which is good for everyone.
Significant for Melbourne, but also just for the rest of the country, really, as far as beaming all those wonderful images right around the world.
Oh, it is. You know, Formula One has about 450 million global viewers and 20 races this season. The time slot that we have, which is 4 p.m., goes into Asia around lunchtime and Europe at breakfast. And we all remember how good it was to watch Adam Scott winning the Masters at breakfast time. Well, yeah. All the Europeans wake up to the sights of Australia.
Just in saying that, Andrew, wasn't there a push to try and get it staged under light so it'd be a better time for Europe?
Yeah, it'd be a better time for Europe, but one of the reasons Melbourne does it in such an iconic location like Albert Park is to showcase what the city looks like, the parkland. It's close to St Kilda Beach and Port Phillip Bay, so you'd lose a fair bit, and our slot, and we believe it's better being a day race rather than a night race. Night race in this region is really now owned by Singapore, and we think we do it beautifully at a 4 p.m. time slot, which goes into breakfast time in Europe, as I said.
Andrew, Bernie Eccleston always been a strong supporter of Melbourne as the host of the Australian Formula One Grand Prix. I think it's locked in for the next 7 years. Do you anticipate interest from outsiders, most notably Sydney?
I think anyone who works in major events has got to be scouring the world for what can come to a city, because it's just such a big global business. Now, we believe we've got a strong relationship with the past owners and also the current owners already, and they'll be out here in 4 weeks' time. So every mob's entitled to go and knock on the door and look for opportunities, but we think we've got a very, very strong case for it to continue until 2023, and MotoGP's another one that's out till 2026. So these big motorsport events have a home here, and Bathurst has a home, for instance, in New South Wales.
Andrew, we can urge everyone, 1 month to go, so the countdown well and truly on. I know for you it's a 12-month countdown, but now we're down to a one-month countdown, and we can go to the website there, grandprix.com.au/tickets, to make sure you're going to be part of that Grand Prix down in Melbourne. We thank you so much.
No, thank you, guys. And for anyone who does want to head down south, there's plenty of tickets across general admission, grandstand, and a lot of VIP and corporate packages, which give you the best, one of the best spots in the house. So thank you for your interest.
No, absolutely, no problem. Andrew Westacott there, the CEO of the Australian Grand Prix Corporation. If you want to have a look at the Drivers' Championship, market's up already. Lewis Hamilton in his Mercedes, $2.10. Daniel Ricciardo at $4 with Max Verstappen. And the new Mercedes driver, Valtteri Bottas, $5.50.
Bottas.
Sky Sports Radio gives you the chance to talk carnival racing every Monday morning on Punters Postmortem. Discuss the weekend's racing highlights with Ron Duffercy and Dean Lester.
So all eyes are on her in the Riesling, and she can stamp herself there because she'll be at the 1200.
Ron and Dean are joined by the TAB's Glenn Munsey with all the updated markets. Call 135353 to talk racing with the best. Punters Postmortem, Monday mornings at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products, including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware with the new black chrome finish out soon, plus vanities, toilet suites, basins, freestanding and drop-in baths, and so much more. AstiVita.com.au. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
To all those who build, we salute you. The crew's tirelessly cutting, lifting and taping so families can call a house a home. For contractors shaping skylines and building communities. At USG Boral, we're the building materials manufacturer that's with you every step of the way. From creating the very first plasterboard to easing your burden with the lightest 10mm and 13mm plasterboard produced in Australia, we're there. Proud supporter of a job well done. Learn more at usgboral.com.
If you download a radio app, you could listen anywhere. even at your cousin's wedding. I mean, you can catch the game right there. At work, no one would notice that you're listening to that show until it makes you LOL and sing the hits you know. If you download a radio app, you could listen while in bed. You'd never hear another snore and drift off to jazz instead. So download it at the App Store or at Google Play, and 250 Aussie stations will be just one swipe away. Radio app, your radio, wherever you are.
At Bingley, it's the end of summer clearance with fantastic bargains across selected products store-wide. Red hot bargains at the end of a long hot summer, but only for a limited time. And only at Bingley.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Former Wallabies international James O'Connor has spent the night in a Paris cell after being arrested on suspicion of attempting to buy cocaine. O'Connor was apprehended by officers from the French Anti-Crime Brigade, along with former All Black star Ali Williams, after they were allegedly caught handing over cash to a drug dealer outside a nightclub in the French capital in the early hours of Saturday morning. A judicial source said both players were drunk at the time of their arrest and not carrying identification. The source also added they were attempting to buy drugs worth about $200 and that two sellers were arrested as well. Williams, 35, currently plays with French club Racing 92, while O'Connor, 26, plays for Toulon. Trade, strategic ties and domestic politics will feature during official talks between visiting Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. The Indonesian leader is on his second day of a whirlwind tour of Australia. Mr Turnbull said Indonesia's developing potential represents a golden opportunity for Australia. On the agenda will be progress on a free trade deal, which is tracking to be finalised by the end of the year. The pair, both former businessmen, are also set to discuss strategic issues, counter-terrorism, cybersecurity and mining. A man who stabbed a Melbourne Good Samaritan after he came to the aid of a woman in distress remains on the run. The 24-year-old victim had just finished work at nearby Southbank on Friday night when he tried to help a woman being attacked on the Yarra Promenade. The offender then turned on the man, stabbing him in the stomach before fleeing. Police believe the attacker had been approaching people prior to the stabbing, trying to instigate a fight. The 89th Academy Awards is being held in Los Angeles. The film La La Land has 14 nominations and is favourite to win the Oscar for Best Picture. Moonlight is also a strong contender with 8 nominations, but this weekend's big event could be the most political yet, with some directors and actors boycotting the ceremony. Frances Reid has more from Hollywood.
One reason, the Oscars' so white backlash, which criticised the awards for not recognising different ethnic minorities in the film industry. Also, a boycott, namely from some Iranian directors and actors, over President Donald Trump's policies, including imposing a travel ban from certain countries, including Iran, which was later blocked by judges in the US. Asghar Farhadi, the Oscar-winning Iranian director who's up for Best Foreign Language Film for The Salesman, has said he will not attend this year's ceremony. Frances Reid, Air News, Los Angeles.
The White House's decision to bar several major news organisations from a briefing has drawn a sharp response from some of the excluded media outlets. The BBC's Lara Bicker has more.
President Trump has stepped up his battle with the media. He's angry at recent reports claiming his campaign aides had contact with Russian intelligence officials. A number of selected media groups were invited into Sean Spicer's office, and others were barred, including the BBC. The White House Correspondents Association said it's protesting strongly and is encouraging those who were allowed in to share material. The BBC is also asking for clarification as to why it was barred.
Also in news, Victoria's Parliamentary Speaker and Deputy Speaker jobs are up for grabs after both MPs resigned from their posts following controversy over their use of allowances. This is Air News. Not only did West Australian paceman Jason Berendorf claim the best Sheffield Shield bowling figures in 50 years, he ripped Victoria apart after a lengthy layover yesterday. Berendorf hadn't played at first class level since November after suffering a broken leg, but feels he's got his preparation perfect before taking 9 for 37 in 13.2 overs. That saw WA dismiss Victoria for 117 on the opening day at the Wacker Ground, with the Warriors 4 for 178 in response, with John Wells not out 70 and Ashton Turner 10. Berendorf claimed the best figures in Shield cricket since Ian Brayshaw took 10 for 44 for WA against Victoria on the 21st of October 1967. It's the fifth best Shield bowling figures in history. Also in cricket, Australia won by 333 runs against India in Pune. Collingwood coach Wayne Seekman hopes last night's drought-breaking win over the Western Bulldogs might be the launchpad for an unlikely run to the AFL Women's Grand Final. The Pies climbed off the bottom of the ladder with a 5-2-32-3-7-25 win, but they're still a long way back in sixth with three rounds to go. Their pre-season goal of making the Grand Final seemed out of reach when they slumped to a 0-3 record, but Seekman believes his side is finally up and running after a slow start. The only sour note, a potentially serious knee injury for Kate Sheehan. Also in sport, the Brumbies defeated the Crusaders 17-13 in Super Rugby. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather, cloudy, very high chance of shower. I think it's raining outside as we speak, Jimmy. Heavy
yes.
at times, a chance of a thunderstorm as well later in the day. Winds southerly 15 to 20 k's, reaching 30 k's near the coast, turning east to southeasterly during the afternoon or evening. Sydney heading for a top temperature today of just 23 degrees with those showers. Jimmy, what about at Tarramurra?
Yes.
And up at Taree?
All right. Current temperature right now at Tarramurra, 7 a.m. Yes, that's right, 7 a.m. is 18 degrees, 22 the expected maximum there. And if you want to go to Taree, because we do, possible showers and a storm. The big race meeting up there today, and a maximum temperature of 25 degrees.
On the road again. Danish Twister's flying on the outside. Can't wait to get on the road again. And she got him!
The Big Sports Breakfast is on the road again for the Provincial Championship. We'll be live from select tracks around the state on the mornings of the qualifiers.
As contenders strive for a spot in the rich finals at Royal Randwick.
Join the Big Sports Breakfast live from Hawkesbury this Thursday on Sky Sports Radio.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
Monday morning is Greyhound Morning on Sky Sports Radio. This Monday, join Mark Duclos as he chats with the key players involved in the Meadows feature meeting.
Going Greyhound, Monday morning at 10:30
on Sky Sports Radio. Sky Sports Radio is everywhere you go.
The Tab app already features your racing leader.
And now the new radio app gives you another way to catch all the racing and sports.
Hear all the programs live by downloading the app through iTunes and Google Play.
Fancy a trip for two to the Hong Kong International, Melbourne Cup or the Cox Plate? Enter the Sky Sports Radio NRL Tipping Competition for a crack at these great prizes. Thanks to Ambassador Travel.
And what an award!
Simply go to the Big Sports Breakfast website, click enter on the competition link, then follow the prompts to register and submit your tips. The Sky Sports Radio NRL Tipping Comp, adding even more excitement and bragging rights to the 2017 footy season.
But look at this. Oh, no, they're all gone. Tander's off. McLaughlin's off. The redressing's caused that. Tander had nowhere to go.
El Mandan and Heartbreak City. What a finish to the Melbourne Cup. El Mandan putting his nose in front of Heartbreak City. They hit the line. El Mandan. El Mandan won it by a very narrow margin from Heartbreak City.
El Mandan had it in his historic round final. Picking the stringer.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Look, apologies on behalf of everyone, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. both Raymond and I missed our alarms this morning, and we had to start the show a little bit later. Not true, everybody. Not true. We are bouncing in here. It is 7 o'clock, and we are ready to go, Raymond.
Does this mean you won't be grumpy anymore?
Oh, I can't believe you went there in the first 15 seconds of the show.
How good is a 7 o'clock
start? Oh, and by the way, morning, Judy. Hope you're well.
Good morning, everyone. How good is a 7 o'clock start?
It's a 7 o'clock start, and there's a number of reasons behind that, but we're looking forward to having lots of interaction in this program over the next 3 hours. Yes, we've retained our three-hour status. Didn't have our wings clipped at all. We're going right through to 10 o'clock.
How were those negotiations, by the way?
Fruitful, okay. I say. That's how they were, Raymond.
Well, you bought an extra hour.
Fruitful. Yeah, no, we're looking forward to this new time slot, 7 till 10. I know we've already had literally hundreds of emails and SMS coming in and wondering where we are, and number of callers wanting to know what's going on. And a big shout out to Doug from Glebe, who said, ha ha ha, I thought you guys had been sacked. Not true.
The rumours of our demise are grossly exaggerated.
Well, at least for now, anyway.
Exactly. We've survived another week. Hope everyone's having a great start to their Sunday. I've just got to say, there has been, at this stage, some incredible sport that we have seen over the last 24, 48 hours. Most notably.
In Pune?
Pune.
Pune.
For Australia to do what they did in less than 3 days against an all-conquering Indian side in their own backyard.
Hasn't been beaten in a test in India for 19 consecutive matches.
Against all the difficulties, the history, and the naysayers was just remarkable. To beat India at their own game.
Yeah, on that sort of a pitch. Yeah.
We've spoken about it before, Ray, and that friend of mine who suggested that in shortly that the ICC will be providing their own curators.
Why don't they do that, Jim?
Well,
it was a joke, that pitch. We've won the test match. But
it's backfired completely on India.
It's a joke.
It's backfired on cricket lovers. Mm. We saw the incredible situation where Ravi Ashwin opened the bowling for India first innings. And Stephen O'Keefe opened the bowling for Australia.
And test match over in 3 days.
Test match over in 3 days. Broadcaster's not happy. No one's happy. Great win and incredible performance from Stephen O'Keefe. Rightly adjudged man of the match.
Steve Smith's magnificent 100.
Incredible.
All a bit lucky, but you've got to ride your luck in these big matches.
Just amazing. Mm. And they have absolutely trounced India. Right.
You and I were speaking about this a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we both thought we wouldn't win a test match in India.
Yes.
What do we think now? 1-0 up, 3 to go.
Oh, it's... And here we go. Where do we start? Congratulations to Cricket Australia, who have said, OK, let's go to Dubai for 2 weeks and do our preparation there, because we won't get it the type of preparation that we want anywhere else. The fact that they've selected
the team a chance.
Selected the side that was going to do that. And I think it was Shane Warne made the point last night. Take yourself back to Hobart when they were absolutely trounced in that second test. South Africa win the series 2-0. It was
Australian
a dark day for Australia.
Very, very low ebb.
Out goes Rod Marsh. Mm. In comes Trevor Holmes.
Everything gets turned around.
And they haven't put a foot wrong since.
It's extraordinary, yeah.
Haven't put a foot wrong since. So we'll take your thoughts on it. Just an incredible test match. Well done, Stephen O'Keefe. Brett Jeeves wrote a really good article on Fox Sport, foxsports.com.au, just saying it's the best $10,000 investment that Steve O'Keefe has ever had. When he was fined by Cricket Australia and Cricket New South Wales for
turned
a few
antics, around for him, hasn't it? You know,
the focus that he's been able to get has now turned into a 12-wicket haul, man of the match performance in India. Outstanding.
And how good is Steve Smith? He leads from the front time and time again. He's 51 tests he's now played. His career average is over 60. That's unbelievable. He's averaging in the high 90s against India. He's a phenomenal player, Jim. And remarkable to think he was picked effectively as a leg spin bowler for his first couple of tests.
Batting eight. Yeah, no, just incredible. And I loved, there was a shot as they left the field, and it was Steve Smith and David Warner. Mm. And I think what you can see within the side, Ray, is an obvious enjoyment with each other's performance.
When you win, it breeds that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So that makes it that little bit easier. But they just had arm in arm, and I thought, there's the Australian captain and there's the Australian vice captain, and that to me, and these are the guys that Cricket Australia have tried to take outside with their wage negotiations and try to splinter them from the group, and they've said, no, we're with the group.
And go back to Hobart again. Remember, Steve Smith said he wanted players in his team that wanted to play for him and play for Australia. And the mindset's just changed, hasn't it, this test team?
Yeah, absolutely. So brilliant performance. Speaking of brilliant performances, Royal Randwick yesterday, what drama. I was at home, I watched a lot of the races, just in incredible days racing, and I really felt for Chris Waller.
Oh,
the pressure that he was under. Yeah, I don't know whether, you know, we'll try and speak to Chris a little bit later on in the program, but the fact that he was able to take out all that outside noise, because most people have turned up to watch her run.
Yep.
And there was a chance that she wasn't going to run.
More than just a chance. It was a round table conference, so to speak, with the owners and with Hugh Bowman and Chris Waller. And everywhere he went, every journalist was watching him and occasionally asked him the question, because it kept running throughout most of the meeting. The Chipping Norton was later in the program. The track started off as a soft six. It wasn't a soft six for race one, Jim. Quickly downgrade, got into the heavy range. It was heavy nine by Chipping Norton.
Yes.
Straight after that race, it was a heavy 10.
Yeah.
So if he had have scratched her, everyone would have, I guess, accepted that decision. So it was brave to run. And how good was she?
Oh, she didn't miss a beat.
She is absolutely
amazing. She did not miss
a beat,
did she?
Yeah, I admire Hartnell as a horse, but has he broken Hartnell's heart? Has she broken Hartnell's heart?
Yeah, he didn't run well, did he?
Yeah, he was three wide face breeze in a bog track, but it wasn't the heart. We know he's much better than that. But she is an absolute phenomenon. And if you get an opportunity this autumn to get out to Rosehill, will be her next race, Jimmy, on March 18th.
It's Golden Slipper Day.
Golden Slipper Day. Or to the QE Stakes on April 8th. Trust me, it's worth it because you are going to see one of the all-time greats. She's in that sort of pantheon of greats now, Jim.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. So congratulations to Wince. Congratulations to Australia. Well done to the Waratahs. 19 points to 13 over the Force last night. Big news from Adrian Prezenko in today's Sun Herald is that James McManus will be suing the Newcastle Knights, Raymond.
That's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah. Open up a can of worms, Jimmy?
To a degree. Obviously, it's on the back of the $1.3 billion that the NFL is going to have to pay to players from that league, and the monies that they receive if they suffer any mental illness at the back end of their lives. But that's a very different situation. Mm. It's where information was concealed from the players, that they were encouraged to knock out their opponents and so forth, and that was happening right up until the last couple of years. So very different situation where all these protocols have been followed. Brian McGuigan, the chairman of Newcastle, has been quoted widely saying they've followed all the protocols and they are confident that they will not be subject to further litigation from James McManus. Incredibly, he still works for the club.
Yeah.
The club he's suing, he's still in a role there. So it's a very sad situation with James McManus, and we'll take your thoughts on that as well. 13:53:53. Big show. We're going to have a chat with Mark Newnham. Ron Quinton will come along for a chat as well. Debbie Kapitas, she's a part owner of Winx. Zorba's back. I know a lot of you were happy about that last week. He's back again. We'll get some predictions from the big man this week. Phil Moss is going to talk football with us. He's going to join us in studio as well. The Event Cinema's quiz is there. Dean Bulldog Ritchie, what tenacity from the young man. He's back for 2017. We'll look forward to that. Our legend of the game.
Looking forward to this, Jim.
Tough as teak, Tom Terrific. Tom Radonikis will be there. Trent Lansdale, sports update from Tanya. Mark Quinn to have a chat about the country championships. And Ali Day, big final day of the Ironman down there at North Cronulla today. So we'll have a chat with Ali. Had a win on Friday in that longer form event. We'll see how he's shaping up for today as well. Dare I say it, Raymond, the new starting time, we've still got ourselves a massive program. Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
On the road again. Danish Twister's flying on the outside. Just can't wait to get on the road again. And she got him!
The Big Sports Breakfast is on the road again for the Provincial Championships. We'll be live from select tracks around the state on the mornings of the qualifiers.
As contenders strive for a spot in the rich finals at Royal Randwick.
Join the Big Sports Breakfast live from Hawkesbury this Thursday on Sky Sports Radio.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
Sky Sports Radio gives you the chance to talk carnival racing every Monday morning on Punter's Postmortem. Discuss the weekend's racing highlights with Ron Duffercy and Dean Lester.
So all eyes are on her and the Riesling, and she can stamp herself there because she'll be at the 1200.
Ron and Dean are joined by the TAB's Glenn Munsey
with all the updated markets.
Call 1353 53 to talk racing with the best.
Punter's Postmortem, Monday mornings at 9 on Sky Sports Radio. Set up your punting day with Racing HQ.
Catch our form analysts previewing every race at the major New South Wales meeting.
Plus all the TAB markets.
Every morning at 10, Racing HQ, here on your racing leader,
Sky Sports Radio.
Every day, Sky Sports Radio brings you the latest on the championships.
This Thursday, the provincial battle heats up at Hawkesbury.
Race morning at 10, get all the previews, followed by the action through the afternoon. Rely on Sky Sports Radio.
10:17 a.m.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, she was magnificent today, Jimmy. One of the most extraordinary wins I've seen by Winx, and there was so much drama pre-race. And to tell us all about it, Chris Weller been good enough to join us bright, and he's on his way to Melbourne for the sales today, Jim. Chris, good morning. Firstly, congratulations, and can I ask you off the bat, how close were you to scratching Winx yesterday?
Morning, boys, and thanks very much. How close? A range of emotions and stress was going through my head. To tell you the truth, I thought I had the weight of Australia. I thought I was Malcolm Turnbull for about 3-4 hours and had to know whether to press the green button or not, basically. To take you through what I was thinking, you sort of get furious. You say, why they put the race on so late? Why did it have to rain and all these sorts of things? And I finally settled down when I went out and had a walk on the track. But I didn't want to do it after the first race. I wanted to do it a bit later, so I waited till after race four when there'd been a bit of traffic. Saw the track, and the inside three horses were getting quite churned up, like as you expect a paddock or a racetrack to be. Churned up as a field of horses runs across it. So I could see a four wide line, which was very safe. And after each race, they do put the track back. So as soon as they put the track back, it looks okay. But you see the horses go over it, and you can see, gee, they're really getting into it. But there was a four-wide line. I just said to Hugh, as soon as I got back in, I said, I'm happy to run a few R, but please try and keep her out there. Yeah. And so once I'd walked it, that sort of settled the nerves, and it was always going to go from there. And we even got more rain, but it didn't really matter.
Did you feel
Sorry.
Sorry, Chris. Did you feel any overt pressure from racing officials, from owners, or is it just perceived at that point?
Absolutely nothing, but just perceived. It's just it's just your general sense of expectation of you knowing what people want. I wasn't in tune with radio, TV, or anything else, social media, but I could see that there was pressure building on a decision to be made. Not that there was ever going to be a decision made, but I could sense that people were just waiting for every move, and it was quite a daunting experience, to tell you the truth, Jimmy.
We were all watching you, weren't we, Chris, right throughout the day. Chris, I guess the good thing about yesterday is, one, she's on track in terms of preparation, and two, now, as you said yesterday, she's a bit older, and it's probably good to get a sense of her on these wet tracks, because we're likely to have rain through the championships,
of course
aren't
it will.
We? Yeah, it always does, yeah.
That had a big bearing in it, too, right? I went through all the options of missing the run and where we'd be heading to ensure she stayed on track for the races we chose for her, so that she would have been running next week. But we've had a lot of rain overnight, and the rain's tipped to stay with us all week. So you're going to be on a wet track next week as well, more than likely, over a slightly shorter distance. And it just would have been one nightmare after another. And we, as you said, we need to know there's going to be a few races throughout her career that are going to be on heavy tracks. And now we know she can handle them, providing it's safe. She'll continue to go around.
Did she show any signs of stress after the race? She didn't show any signs of stress during the race. Did she show any signs of stress after the race, Chris?
No, none at all. None at all. And I think what helps her is she's doing it quite, I won't say easily, that would be arrogant, but she's got a pretty effortless stride, very economical, and said all along that her athleticism and will to win is what gets her to win races. And I think athleticism through a wet track's a big help. And those of you that could imagine a horse like Winx, don't expect it to be a big, gross, heavy horse. She's actually quite a feminine horse that's not overly heavy. She's quite a light filly or mare, and I think that helps.
And Chris, Hugh Bowman once again did everything right, put her in the right position. You mentioned four wide in that lane, so to speak, and again, didn't punish her in the straight, just let her pretty much cruise home.
Yeah, he's just dead set cool as a cucumber, and there's no better way of explaining it. He's Mr. Cool to the highest degree, and it's just an absolute vital piece of the puzzle to have him there, because he helps settle my emotions. He's good for the owners, and most importantly, he's good for the horse and the punters.
And she's great for racing too. She was fantastic yesterday. Look, Chris, I know you've got to get going on that flight to Melbourne. We really appreciate you taking the time to take our call this morning. And again, great memories yesterday, and we hope to have you on again in the Autumn Carnival.
Hope so too, boys.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Well done, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Chris Waller there, incredible. Enormous pressure on him yesterday at Royal Randwick. Probably a little bit of pressure on the mare too, and they both came through with flying colours.
Isn't she special, Jimmy?
Unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Countdown to the Golden Slipper has begun, Jimmy, and a couple of trainers yesterday qualified horses for the first time in the Golden Slipper, including Mark Newnham, who's only been training for less than a year, and he looks like he's going to have a Golden Slipper run on March 18 with the tough but very impressive Diamond Tathagata. Mark, good morning, and do you believe that you're going to have a Golden Slipper runner in 3 weeks' time?
Yeah, morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy. Look, I wouldn't have expected it in my first year, but I'm happy to take it.
And to be honest, the form probably was there too. If you look back, the other run that the colt had was he finished.
She Will Reign.
She Will Reign, yeah, too. So that must have been giving you confidence that you're taking the right route with the colt.
Yeah, look, I've always had a good opinion of him, and he probably went into that race a little underestimated. But look, he's probably got as close to She Will Reign as anybody else has, and she's been the dominant two-year-old, you know, right the way through.
Mark, talking to yourself and particularly Glenn Schofield after the race yesterday, what impressed Glenn in particular was the colt's determination. He just refused to get beaten yesterday. The Godolphin horse Coruscate probably had looked to have the race won, but Diamond Tathagata kept digging deep. That's a good sign going into a high-pressure race like a Golden Slipper.
Yeah, he certainly got the right attitude for it. If you looked in the parade ring, you know, at both his starts, you know, he's paraded like a five-year-old gelding. He's, you know, he's got a great presence and great attitude about him, and he's like that at home. And I think under pressure, he's one of those horses that loves to be challenged. And I've noticed even in his work, sometimes, you know, if you're galloping with a mate that you think, he's not gonna pick it up, or you're at the bottom of him, there's always a little bit more. And I got Glenn to come out and have a ride on him during the week, and it was one of his comments straight afterwards. He said, "Oh, I thought I was going to get to you quite easily." He said, then he struggled for a couple of strides. He said, and I asked him again, he picked up. And look, that's the horse a little bit. And look, going forward, it's a great thing to have in a colt.
Absolutely. Obviously very exciting for you, Mark, as a first-year trainer, but you're deeply experienced from your jockey days, obviously your time with Gay Waterhouse. I think in that time she won 3 Golden Slippers. What did you learn at that point during your career that's been helping you with Diamond Tathagata?
Oh, look, we won with a few colts when I was there too, and look, it's important, especially from a business point of view, that you have colts winning these group races at two, because you know that's where the big players in the industry are.
Yep.
And look, you've got to, whatever the price tag is on that horse, you've got to treat them all the same. And as far as this colt's concerned, like he was really my first horse, and you know I couldn't treat him any different to, you know, any other horse that I've seen over the years. You know, you can't wrap them in cotton wool. You've got to work them properly, feed them properly, and let their ability take care of the rest.
Now, a horse like him is a great advertisement for the business, Mark. Mark, you mentioned yesterday that you're hoping to pick up more boxes. Obviously, Michael Friedman will be leaving Randwick later in the year to go to Hong Kong. How many do you have in work, and how big do you hope to get, Mark?
Well, I've got 25 in work, and I'm just starting. The numbers are starting to grow now because, with the yearling sales, this is my first year sort of attending sales, and you know, we're picking up some nice horses at each of the sales, and I'm off to Melbourne this morning. Look, if I was able to pick up those stable of 25 to go with my stable of 25, I think that would be about the right number for me. Mm-hmm. 50 allows you to be competitive every Saturday, and that's important. People need to see you at the races on a Saturday because, unfortunately, you know, midweek racing, you know, the crowds have dwindled because people are too busy to attend, mm-hmm. and you know, they're out earning money, you know, to support racehorse trainers like me. So, you know, you've got to be at the Sydney Metropolitan meeting every Saturday to remain current. And look, I think with that number, I can do that. I mean, otherwise, you're just not going to compete with the, you know, the stables we have in Sydney of 100-plus horses.
Yeah. By Hinchinbrook out of Maltese, where did Diamond Tathagata come from? And I think Tathagata, we've worked out here, is the literal interpretation means the one who has gone to suchness or the one who has arrived at suchness. Where did that come from, Mark?
Well, you know, his Chinese owner came up with that, and he calls all his horses Diamond something.
Okay.
And association goes back to when I rode in Macau, or, you know, 12 or 14 years ago, and remained in contact with their trainer there.
Yeah.
And he actually said to me when I left Gaze last year, it was about this time of the year, because he asked me to come down to the Melbourne sale with him. And at the time, I said, oh, look, I'm not even sure what I'm going to do. You know, I said, I'll apply for a license, but I said, look, I've had a few different offers to do different things. And he said, no, come down. And this was actually the first horse we bought, and we're sitting there, and he started bidding, and $100,000 later, he turned to me and he said, well, there's your first horse.
Wow. Gee.
So, no, it's appropriate that, you know, he's turned out to be, you know, a very good colt and looks to have a great future.
He certainly does, yeah. And, look, he was terrific yesterday, Mark, and let's hope he can back up and run you a big race in the Golden Slipper. Mark, thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck through the rest of the Autumn Carnival.
Great. Thanks, boys.
Thanks so much, Mark.
There he is, Mark Newnham, a bloke I know reasonably well. It's great to see him doing well in his first year as a trainer. 50 into 26 now, $51 Diamond Tathagata for the big race, the Golden Slipper. Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it, Raymond? For
countdown's on, Jim.
It is. She will rain. Do we know what her wet track form is like?
Yeah.
Oh, she did that one. Was it Kembla?
Correct.
Yes.
No, second start at Randwick, actually.
Second start at Randwick.
And she runs next Saturday, Jim, and with the forecast for the rest of the week, we're going to have more wet weather. But she's on song for the Riesling Stakes next Saturday.
Which is the point that Chris Waller made about not scratching wings. It's like, well, we're going to get it for the week. What do? We run it next week. It's just going to be exactly the same.
Correct.
And, Chris Waller is right. Ridiculous amount of rain forecast for Sydney this week. Regards, eagle-eyed Phil. Absolutely. So, brilliant, guys. Just to hear the emotion in Chris's voice makes you tear up a bit. She had him done at the turn, and big mention to Lasquetti Spirit for a great second. Nice Quinella, thanks awfully.
Yeah.
Pete from Lakehaven. Lasquetti Spirit.
What a blinder she
ran. She's hung on.
Oh, she's tough, Lasquetti Spirit.
Yeah.
It's like a big win for them, seriously, to run second to such a great horse.
Yeah, outstanding. 1353-53 is the open line number. We're open for business too from 7 o'clock, the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with the all-exciting, encompassing...
You love it.
No,
love it.
We do get excited about our race replays. And we're going to release our talk topic for the day. It's a good one.
Flash of inspiration by me.
Yep.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer two-year-old speed on two-year-old speed. We've a colt by brilliant two-year-old now, first crop sire, Sizzling. The only Group 1 winning two-year-old by his sire, Snitzel, from Nova. Daughter of champion two-year-old sire, Exceed and Excel.
I thought this colt was a running type. He's got real sort of get up and go about himself. Terrific bone, and he looks like he's going to be an early two-year-old.
Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 336808.
Champion Stakes and lift up the fight.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products, including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, with a new black chrome finish out soon. Plus, they have vanities, toilet suites, basins, and freestanding and drop-in bars, and so much more. 2U warranty over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
I lost the beer gut.
My husband lost his beer gut.
Our dad lost his beer gut.
Thanks to the Man Shake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda.
The BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Looking forward to your interaction with us. 1353 53 is the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well. 0419 SMSBSB. That's 0419 767 272, and of course we'll take your tweets as well at Big Sports WEND. Now, our talk topic for today, Raymond. Can you believe that after winning the premiership last year in the English Premier League, Claudio Ranieri has been sacked by Leicester?
It's disgraceful, isn't it? Did you see his comment afterwards? Gee, he's a graceful man.
Oh, well.
Such a gentleman. And he still said he loves the club.
Of course he does.
He loved being involved with the club.
Yeah.
He loved being involved with the fans. But why do they sack him? I know they're borderline to potentially get relegated, but they're still in the fight. They're still living off the honeymoon period, you would think, after winning a championship that no one thought they could do.
No.
And the poor guy gets sacked.
I totally understand it. Totally understand it from a management point of view, and I totally understand it from this point of view. And it's great that Claudio Ranieri's got it. You've got to look back at that saying, well, what an incredible time we had there when I was at Leicester. You know, just an incredible moment in time. A
very
career
gracious,
highlight.
Very gracious man.
But otherwise you get bitter about, he'll be able to, if he wants another job, he's a fair age. Mm. If he wants another job, he'll get another job. There'll be, he, of all the problems that people face in the world, Claudio's is not that big.
But all that aside, Jim, I know what you're saying. All that aside, it's a very ruthless decision from a man who took the club to heights they've never been before and may never go again for a long, long time.
What was it, 100 and something years between?
One of the great fairy tale stories in sport, and they dumped the guy less than a year later.
I understand it. It's harsh, I know, but I understand it.
You're a harsh businessman, Jim.
1353-53 is the open line. I love the way he's looked at it, though. I've looked at it from a positive lens, rose-tinted glasses.
That's why the supporters love him, why the public
exactly
loves him, and why the club should have stayed with him. Give him a bit longer. Give him a chance.
They're nearly relegated, Ray.
They're not relegated yet.
1353. Anyway, 1353-53. So the talk topic today is unlikely sackings. Shock sackings.
I can think
from
of one.
From the world of sport.
I can think of one.
Yeah, go.
Wally Lewis.
Oh, strong
Wayne
start,
said,
Raymond.
No more Wally Lewis.
That was the Wayne Bennett, get rid of them 1 year early rather than 1 year late.
He went to the, what were they called back? What was the Gold Coast call back?
Seagulls.
Then? That's right, yeah. He captain coach, wasn't he?
He was captain coach. The last captain coach. Apparently, what he used to do when he was coaching, he would work out when training was going to finish. So about 15 minutes before the end of training, he'd ring, he's the coach of the side, he'd ring the Chinese restaurant at the it's Chinese. Order his takeaway so that when training finished, Wally could...
You reckon you have to pay for it? I'm tipping
please.
The King's here. The King's are giving his fried rice and his spring rolls.
Exactly. The spring rolls, no problem for it. So, shock sackings in the world of sport. We've got great giveaways for courtesy of Sony Music, courtesy of...
Where's producer Jeremy?
Anything else Jeremy wants to get out of the cupboard, we've got it. I'm going to throw my nomination in there.
Yes, far away.
Dean Jones. Sacking from the Australian. 52 test matches. He was sacked on the eve of the 1992-93 West Indies series. His numbers were so much better than Mark Waugh's, who'd just come through that disastrous tour of Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. Better than Steve Waugh's. He'd scored 433 from his previous four tests at an average of 70, and they sacked him. More personality based, I think.
I'd say it was more about the team ethos,
yes,
team structure, and how he fitted in.
Yes.
it was harsh call.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. We'll take your thoughts on that and prizes to give away. 13:53:53.
Jimmy, race replays. We've got to get stuck into these because there is some really important ones that we need to take notice of going forward. Yesterday in the Randwick wet track conditions.
Yes.
Two of the important Golden Slipper lead-ups. The first was the Sweden Brace Stakes. John Thompson's had a fantastic year with his two-year-olds. He qualified his first Golden Slipper runner with one more honey.
Sieges hunting through on the fence. Arctic Angel hard pressed on the rails lead from Torval in second. Then one more honey. Teaspoon down the outside and further back to Exceeds making ground. But Arctic Angel skips away at the 200 metres. One more honey to second. Then Torval and Teaspoon. Nothing else a chance. Arctic Angel in front of one more honey who's coming with a late run now. Arctic Angel's on jelly legs and one more honey right over the top wins the Sweet Embrace. One more honey's won it. Now, Teaspoon's lunged at Arctic Angel. My goodness, he could not pick it.
Righto, one more honey's won it, but she's not in the Golden Slipper just yet.
Not nominated yet.
Not nominated yet. So what's the situation there? They've got to cough up 150.
Pay a late entry fee, yeah. So look,
she's $51, by
exactly.
the way.
John Thompson said yesterday she'll probably go to the Magic Knight Stakes in 2 weeks' time.
Right.
7 days prior to the Slipper. I guess if she wins that, it gives the owners every reason to roll the dice and run her in the Golden Slipper.
Because I had the bit of extra money there and they'd be kicking themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
What do they say? 100% of shots not attempted, don't
correct.
Go in.
But the late Bart Cummings used to always say you've got to be in it to win it. So
there you go. Anyway, same thing, I think.
The next two-year-old division was the Skyline Stakes. We heard from Mark Ninham earlier.
Oh,
tough
yeah.
horses. Diamond, I can't say it to me, yes, Tathagata.
Diamond Tathagata's yielding ground. Single bullet the outside. A couple further back to Eden Rock is being roused along and so's Dracaris up the rise. And Coruscate leads from single bullet. Diamond Tathagata's getting its second win. Eden Rock's labouring. So's Dracaris. It's Coruscate the leader. 150 out. Diamond Tathagata is sticking on gamely. Coruscate just in front of Diamond Tathagata. Single bullet. Coruscate's all out. Diamond Tathagata got it. In the last hop, Diamond Tathagata was able to worry Coruscate out of it. Eden Rock really revved up late to grab third.
All right, so we're on air now, Raymond, so we're going to be careful. We're just talking. Someone said shock sackings in sport. And someone said Miracle from this show. No, he wasn't sacked. It was his own decision.
He might be listening. Good morning, Miracle.
Morning, Miracle. $51, Diamond Tathagata. Came into 26, yeah. out to 51 now. But as we spoke to Mark about, very tough horse indeed. Mm.
Jim, no introduction. Let's just listen to her. Sit back, enjoy. How good is she? Winx.
Winx is up on the outside, stalking Hartnell coming to the turn. Further back to Grand Marshal, Tavago and Preferment. He pulls to the passing lane on Winx as they round the corner. The Squirty Spirit in front of Endless Drama, but Winx moves straight up on the outside. She went straight past Hartnell, then Magic Hurricane, who shot the Barman and Lebron. They've got 200 metres to run. He hasn't even pushed the button on the Mighty Mare, Winx, and she's really starting to pull away. The Squirty Spirit, who shot the Barman, Magic Hurricane. Oh, isn't she great to watch? Back-to-back wins in the Chipping Norton. It's been won by some of the legends, and that she is. Winks by two lengths. Lasquetti Spirit, a huge run second. Who shot the Barman?
Well, the numbers start to be impressive, don't they? 15 successive win goes past Farlap, now legend equal with Carbine and Burnborough. It is the 10th Group 1 race, third behind Black Caviar 15 and Sunline 13. Prize money just shy of $10 million. Third behind Mackay Duva and Sunline. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Jimmy, the hair in the back of my neck stands up the last two times I've watched her race now, and I've been doing this job for 25 years, and she is just so good to watch because I think my opening par was today, is there anything she can't do? She is an absolute freak.
Exactly, because those conditions, you know, they're so different yesterday.
Amazing.
She goes bang.
Really happy to see Ron Quinton's mare, Dixie Blossom's bounce back to form for the trainer. Great bloke, Ronnie, and she was terrific in her own right yesterday.
On the point of the turn, Dixie Blossoms at the 450, leads from Flippin' and Zambar. Danish Twist very deep, and further back to Shillelagh looking for a gap. Dixie Blossoms being cuddled up the rise. Flippin' now full bore in second, Zambar under the pump, then came Shillelagh, but Dixie Blossoms going through her gears, kick well clear inside the 200 metres. Zambar's grinding away looking for second. Shillelagh doing its best work late, but hard held to the line. An armchair ride for Clark on Dixie Blossoms. How good is this? She catters up by six lengths on the heavy nine to beat Zambar, then Flippin' and Shillelagh.
There is Dixie wow. Blossoms. It's so easy. She got to the front, stopped, and then just a really soft lead. We'll talk to Ronnie Quinton a little bit later on in the program, actually very shortly, about Dixie Blossoms.
Big day of racing at Caulfield yesterday. Yeah. David Hayes had a fantastic day. He had six runners in the Blue Diamond going for his sixth win. I was on Pariah, Jim. Oh, catchy from nowhere.
Blondie dropping out and catchy about five lengths to make up from Sao Tau into the straight and Property trying for an inside run. Pariah came wide. They go to the lead from Formality. Wait for no one at the 200 and Property a narrow leader. Pariah coming after it. Pariah raced up. Formality's trying to go with it. Catchy leaving it late but starting to fly home. Pariah the leader. Catchy starting to flash home. Pariah in front. Catchy got him. Catchy the great filly has got up and beaten Pariah. Formality's run third.
Where'd she come from? Where did she come from? Pariah, I was watching that.
Pariah, three wide face freeze the whole way, Jim. Terrific run, but Catchy, what a performance.
All right, Catchy $11, Pariah $11 for the Golden Slipper. She will reign $2.80. Mm. Hootson, $8, Forgotten.
Yes, we'll see her next week.
Minari.
We'll see him next week. He was scratched, yeah. Last night at Menangle, Jim.
Yeah.
The biggest harness race in Sydney each year, the Miracle Mile. This is one of the all-time great finishes. How did Lenny the Shark win it?
The two stablemates go to war up front. Hector JJ ahead in front of Lenny the Shark. About to peel and go as Lazarus. Waiting for an out as Smolder. And then came to the outside. Our Waikiki Beach and Bling It On worked one off the inside as Lenny the Shark hit the lead. Smolder gets an inside run. Lazarus and Our Waikiki Beach are trying to wind up. The leader narrowly is Lenny the Shark. Smolder and Lazarus, they're trying to close. But Lenny's trying to lift. Here's Smolder on the inside. Lenny the Shark and Smolder. Lenny's just in front. I think he might have got there. Lenny the Shark a nose to Smolder. In third spot, a photo between the stablemates.
What a call. Freddie Hastings,
isn't
well
he?
Done.
Great to hear. Good work, Freddie. Yeah, great work, Lenny the Shark, too. Incredible. Had a might get calls from Tabcorp Park Menangle about last night and the lack of service around trying to get a beer. Yeah, I had a mate ring me last night saying, you on tomorrow? I said, yeah. And he said, mate, I'm going to ring in and say they lined up for beers for 50 minutes. That takes the fun out of the event.
Yeah.
That takes the fun out of the event.
Might have been a bigger crowd than they expected.
Absolutely. Well, there's still no excuse for that, is there? You want to go out there for a relaxing night.
Here's a couple more on our theme, Jim, about great
sacking. Oh, yeah, getting sacked.
This is one from Handyman at French's Forest. Kim Hughes. Remember the tearful
KJ
resignation?
Hughes. But
that?
Was that an unlikely one?
It was unexpected.
Cut off the head of the snake.
Yeah, unexpected.
The West Indies, they used to revel in
the captain, didn't they? Just went after the captain.
And that's why I think Alan Border is the most underappreciated Australian test cricketer in history.
Oh, he wanted to walk a few times, but he just stuck at it, didn't he?
Oh.
And he turned Australian cricket around, Alan Border.
Numbers are unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with more of your sackings. And after that, we'll have a chat with Ronnie Quinton, the trainer of Dixie Blossoms.
Our next caller, Tom, has something to say to a special loved one.
It's the horse, clearly innocent. Just love him. Backed him at the country championships at Royal Randwick in 2016. Weaved his way through traffic and raced straight into my heart.
Stunning, Tom. Yeah. It's easy to love a bet this autumn because we've got heart racing offers on all the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Bet you love that. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Like gaining bragging rights, Raymond, over your mates this footy season, then be sure to enter the Sky Sports Radio NRL tipping competition. Are you obligated to tip the Dragons every week?
And Penrith, yeah.
Well, Penrith, you might be all right this year.
Yes.
Dragons. Thanks to our friends at Ambassador Travel, you could also win a trip for two to the 2017 Hong Kong International, the Melbourne Cup, or the Cox Plate. Which one would you take?
Both great.
Well, there's three there. Hong Kong International, the Melbourne Cox Cup, Melbourne or the Cox Plate. Oh, no, it's all, not end all.
Okay.
We're down there for, 2 weeks, eh? Well, you are.
Yeah.
That's right. Simply go to the Big Sports Breakfast website, click enter on the competition link, and then follow the prompts to submit your tips and register. So you go there every year, don't you, Melbourne Cup and Cox Plate? You'd have to go to Hong Kong.
Haven't been for a long, long time.
Yeah, there you go. Sky Sports Radio, NRL tipping comp, adding even more excitement and bragging rights to your 2017 footy season.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres
at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. It's a new start time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We're on air from 7 till 10 on Sunday mornings. Tell all your friends. Tell a few more friends. That'd be nice. Just get those listeners in there. That'd be fantastic. We're talking about sackings today, Raymond.
We are?
Yeah. And this one
we survived.
This one's come in from Brett from Broadbeach. Miracle Mal. He was sacked by TJ Smith for A, being too big of a lair, B, being always suspended, and C, he supported Manly.
Maybe Mal can ring up and tell us which one of those three is actually the correct one.
I think it might be D, all of the above. So there you go. 1353-53, the open line number. Alan is there. G'day, Alan.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah,
morning,
really Alan. Well, mate.
Could you please explain to me how O'Keefe didn't get man of the match in the cricket?
No, he did.
He definitely did.
I was sat on that. I was watching it there last night, and they gave the thing to Stark.
Yeah, there was a bit of stuff going around on Twitter last night, and the thing is, Alan, Stark got an award. There's no doubt. You're right. Your eyes weren't deceiving you. Stark got an award, but the official man of the match from the Test match was Stephen O'Keefe.
Steve O'Keefe.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Yeah,
I only watched that bit, and they said they called Stark up, and I thought, well, how could he get that in front of...
Definitely didn't.
I think he got the encouragement award.
Oh, right.
No, I don't know. I don't know. But
Alan, Steve O'Keefe's figures, identical figures of 6 for 35 in both innings, surpass Chandrasekhar's 6 for 52 in both innings at the MCG Test 77-78. That's courtesy of eagle-eyed Phil. So 6 for 35 both digs, and that's a record of sorts, Alan.
He actually got 6 for 5, didn't he?
He did, in a sense. Yeah, it was a phenomenal that brilliant. First innings.
I've got to say, just watching that, watching it very closely last night, Alan, everything for Stephen O'Keefe was going right, and everything was going wrong for Nathan Lyon. The catches were just going to the catches dropped. Yeah,
but I'll tell you what, the pressure they mounted,
they
were fantastic in partnership.
Spinning
they?
At right angles.
Oh. Fantastic in
spinning
partnership.
At right angles. Good on you, Alan. Appreciate
okay,
that. Yeah,
good call,
just
Alan.
To clarify that. We'll try and work out what award he did win. I don't know whether it was most improved or what it was. You might have got the coach's award. I don't know.
Say the encouragement award.
But because there was people saying, oh, how on earth did he get it? And to clarify, player of the match,
definitely Steve
SNJ O'Keefe from Australia. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning, really well, mate.
Listen, the horse's name escapes me, Ray, but Morris Lake, after doing all the lead-up work, Morris Lake got replaced by Ryan Quinton by a Golden Slipper winner.
He certainly did. Sir Dapper in 1983.
Yeah. Morris Lake done all the hard work, and then the week before the Slipper, Quinton jumps on.
He did ride the horse in the Todman Stakes
got stuck
on the fence, got beaten, and the connections made the decision, which happens in racing, doesn't it, Andy?
It does happen. I think Dodd Dan Oliver got the... Norman Cup and Sydney for Gay.
Yeah, Fiorente, that's right. A couple of jockeys sacked, but that's the way
it is. Anyway, listen, the players' work ethic should be congratulated for the main reason for their success in India, I guess, over the last few days.
Yeah.
But I'll be controversial. Let's not forget the part that Pat Howard played to help in the preparation, taking Steve O'Keefe off the out of the Big Bash, building dusty pitches at the Ipswich, so about Renshaw and Coke in practice, and going to Dubai. You know, he gets much maligned, but you know, if we're going to bag him when things go wrong, we probably should give him a bit of a rap when things go right.
Good point, Anthony.
That's a very good point, Anthony. Yeah, we made mention of the fact that they did that excellent preparation. And to be fair to Pat Howard and Stephen O'Keefe, I think it was Stephen O'Keefe's idea to take himself out of the Big Bash.
Okay.
And at the time it was like, oh, why wouldn't he be playing competitive cricket? And Brad Haddin came on this program and said, to be honest, he's done the right thing. He's worked his whole career to be a Test match bowler.
Pat suggested that, didn't he? I think Pat might have suggested it.
You know what they say, Anthony? Success has many fathers and failure's an orphan.
Can I just say good morning to Cheryl Clark this morning? I know he wants to have a bacon and eggs for breakfast. He might take the egg off his face to put the back on the plate with the bacon. You know, he won't be congratulating Pat Howard for any success.
You know, as soon as you mentioned Pat Howard, Anthony, I thought of Stuart Clark.
Yeah. Listen, can I quickly just say... Ray Thomas is an honest bloke. I saw him on Racing HQ with Ben a couple of Saturdays ago on the Washout Saturday.
Oh yeah,
He wore a T-shirt. I think was it California Chrome or was it
American Pharaoh shirt?
American Pharaoh t-shirt. And I can vouch to our listeners that he does do at least 100 push-ups a night because he's had his guns shown.
Hang on. What sort of a program are we here, Anthony?
We better move on now. Anthony's in the running to win something then, but...
Oh, now he's going to win too.
What about?
So what are we seeing now?
Barry Gibb in the now, friend.
Barry Gibb in the now. I tell you what, he's got the short sleeves on today too,
we'll
Anthony.
Change the subject.
Massive.
We've got Ron Quinton on the line, more importantly.
Good. We'll look forward to speaking to Ron.
Ron, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, congratulations, Ron. Dixie Blossoms, how good was she yesterday? And just good to see her back in form and in the zone, Ronnie.
Well, she's never really been out of it, but... It was a very nice win yesterday. Phil fell away a little bit with late scratchings and things like that, but by the same token, she can only win, and she won particularly well.
And she ran. She just got that soft lead up at the start. Ronnie, you must have been clicking your heels when that was happening.
Yeah, well, they were actually going three-quarter pace, you know, and if she can race like that. She's got a wonderful turn of foot, as we saw in the Yanks back in the spring, and we saw that again yesterday.
Coolmore Classic next, Ron?
Yeah, she'll go to the Coolmore now.
We won that race before, and both as a trainer and as a jockey, and you've got a mare going into the Coolmore in terrific form now.
Yeah, well, certainly the Coolmore will be a stronger race than yesterday, but... As I say, it can only win. She'll go into the Coolmore now, and she'll be one of the main chances, I suppose. I don't think the weight will worry her. I think prior to yesterday, she would have been going into the Coolmore with about 53.5. I guess she'll probably get a little bit more now. That's probably inevitable, but she'll take a place there, and she'll run well as well.
Mm. We've heard already from Chris Waller and the enormous pressure that he was under. Obviously, very different for you, but from your point of view, the conditions. Were you confident that Dixie Blossoms could still run? Because come that time, I think we're on a heavy 10.
That's right. Yeah. She'd only ever run on a slow track once before. She ran second to Single Gaze at Kembla in the Keith Nolan.
Yeah.
And that was only slow. You're going into a bad track yesterday. But I was sort of pretty confident she would, because on the mother side of the family, a lot of them are wet trackers, and Street Sense breed. Generally noted to handle it. Mm. So I was relatively confident she could travel well during the race. If they travel well, I'll generally get through it and handle it okay. But if they're not travelling and they're struggling a little bit, well, that's when they find it a little bit harder.
Good point. Ronnie, one of our listeners has just sent us an SMS. Will Dixie Blossoms run in the Doncaster?
Well, she's nominated. She's nominated for it, so we keep all options open and go from there. But she's definitely nominated for it, so you never just know.
No, $15 chance at tab.com.au. And Ron, on a somber note, I think this is the first time that we've spoken to you since the passing of your wife, Margaret. And just on behalf of everyone here at the program, we'd like to pass on our condolences to you and your family.
Thank you very, very much. It wasn't good, wasn't nice, and it's left a big hole. Mm-hmm. But what I must say is I can sort of publicly sort of thank everyone for their support that I've had, and all my children, well, they're not children anymore, they're all adults, but they've been wonderful. Mm-hmm. And the racing industry in general have been very supportive as well. So it gives me a chance publicly to say thank you to everyone for that. And wasn't a good time.
Well said,
Ron.
Thoughts are with you, Ron.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks so much, Ronnie.
There he is, Ron Quinton, trainer yesterday with the horse Dixie Blossoms. Yes, $15 chance in the Doncaster. And Ron puts it all into perspective there, doesn't he, with the passing of his wife.
So. One of the nice guys in racing, Ronnie Quinton.
Absolutely, yeah. Very sad indeed. 1353 is the open line number. Time now to get some scratchings around New South Wales for the first time. We say good morning to Tan.
Morning, boys. Good morning, everyone. Racing today in New South Wales is at Taree. Massive race day there today. And
so you're going on the hybrid there.
Starting with Taree, where the weather is overcast. The track is soft 5. The rail is true. And there are 17 scratchings. Race 1,
hold
check
on,
out
mate.
3, Noble
to,
Dragon.
Right
7,
in
Owner's
there.
Eyes. And 13, Shaker Bonbon. 3, 7, 13.
Race 2
is clear. Race 3, number 2, Get the Money. Number 2. Race 4, number 10, Jackknife. Number 10. Out of race 5, take 4, Lyric. And 11, Laurentian.
There you go, play me something now.
11. Race 6, number 3, Manhattan Road. Number 3 from race 6.
Yes, so
race 7, the Country Championship qualifier.
Take
out 11,
now.
She's Invincible. 16, Capital Magic. 17, Chelsea.
Yeah, I've got, I've got music there now.
Russell. 11, 16, oh, 17,
gone.
And 18. And race 8, take out 2, Oakfield.
Give me some more level on that.
3, Laszlo.
Yeah, just so you know, you need to feed a real good level down that because it's gating off. But what you're giving me now is good. Sorry, dude. I'll hang up.